Ever faithful is the Lord. And through all of that, I learned that I can count on the Lord. I want him to be able to count on me all the time. But he's not on me. But I can always count on the Lord. I can always count on him. Got a tickle in my throat, y'all, just a minute. But I can always count on him. Everybody should people to our physical physical addresses. And we have addresses to let people know how to find us, how packages get to us. So a dwelling place is our house or home. A place where we dwell or live. So I want you to think about dwelling place as a place where someone dwells or lives. And you might be able to relate to it better if you think about a physical dwelling place, your house, that has an address to let people know where to find you. Usually a dwelling place is filled with all the things we need. We have a kitchen for cooking, bedroom for sleeping. You know, a dwelling place in a house, you fill up with everything you need in order to live. And when you run out of stuff, you go out and get stuff and bring it back in, because you want to have everything there in that dwelling place at your house where you live that you need. Food, clothes, bathrooms, all of that in your dwelling place. The disadvantage to a dwelling place here on earth is, I thought about, I can't take my house with me when I go on vacation. It's a permanent place, stable, in one spot. When I go on vacation, and you go on vacation, you got to pay somebody room rent, to rent a place or a dwelling away from home. So our physical dwelling place is not mobile, unless you buy one of those mobile homes where you can drive from place to place. So our physical place is not mobile. But I just want us to understand that a dwelling place is where one lives or resides, where one lives or resides. But there are different dwelling places to meet specific needs. Our bodies is a dwelling place for our soul and spirit. Our soul and spirit dwells in our body. That's our body's dwelling place. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the Bible talks about this house or this body that our soul and spirit lives in, that if it's destroyed, God has made us another place to live. That, and it's not made with hands. It's not like houses down here. It's eternal in the heavens. So we are not just physical bodies, but we are spirits. We are spirit, soul, and body. So we have another dwelling place that is not physical or material. This is a great mystery to us, but nonetheless, it's still true. We dwell on earth physically, but our spirits also dwell in Christ spiritually. And I know that might be hard to picture, but right now we're sitting here in service. Our spirit is on the inside of us. But our spirit also is inside Christ at the right hand of God in heaven. It's a great mystery, but it's still true and it's real. Let's look at Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. To them, God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that Colossians tells us that Christ lives in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Just like we know and believe that Christ dwells in us in our spirit, so we dwell in Christ in his spirit. Jesus is in two places at one time, the Bible says. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. But this scripture just said he's also in us, the hope of glory. We are actually in two places here and there in him. Just like Jesus is in two places, and I'm going to read some more scripture to prove that. But just like Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but is also in us, we are also here with Jesus, but also at the right hand of the Father in Jesus, in our spirit man. We can actually be in two places at one time. Our physical bodies can't be in two places at one time. But spiritually, we can be in two places at one time. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. Christ, our dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord, okay, Christ, us. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. When you join something together spiritually, it's like taking a glass of water and pouring some Kool-Aid or something in it. You can't tell where the Kool-Aid stopped and the water end or vice versa. It's one now. It has been mingled together, joined together, and it's one. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Jesus made the disciples and us a promise. He promised that just as he was in the Father and the Father was in him, and they were one, that's how we would be. He promised that. Just like he was in the Father and the Father was in him, and they were one, we would be the same way. That's what oneness means. It means two spirits coming together, joining together, and making one, being as one. We will be in him and one with him. So let's go and look at John 14:20. Then we're going to go to John 17:20. John, Christ is our dwelling place. I want you to start meditating and thinking on the fact that you're in Christ. Not just that Christ is in you, but you're in Christ. Because it's twofold to make us one with him. He's in us, but we're also in him. We're his dwelling place, but he's also our dwelling place in him. John 14:20. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That says a whole lot, but you got to think about it. And that day you will know that what? I am in my Father. This is Jesus talking. Jesus saying, you're going to know that day. What day? That day that I'm crucified. That day that I rise again. That day that you go to Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit come upon you and the Holy Spirit's in you. You're going to know. You don't understand it now, but you're going to know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Let's look at that. You in me and I in you. I didn't write it, it's scripture. I didn't write it. It's John 14:20. He said, you're going to know that you in me and I in you. You in me and I in you. You mean to tell me, Jesus, not only are you in me, but I'm in you? I can actually say that my dwelling place is in Christ, where he sits on the right hand of the Father, that I am not in this lowly place here, but I have been exalted and lifted high with Jesus. You in me and I in you. That's how we become one. Let's go to John 17:20-23. When Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So Jesus prayed for us. He didn't just pray for the disciples. He prayed for us. And then he said, what did he pray? He prayed this, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. That's the first thing to happen. Jesus said when he came and dwelt in the flesh, he was in the Father, and the Father was in him. He was in two places at one time. And he was one with the Father. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. That they also may be one in us. Okay, Jesus said, okay, this is good. It's good that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. But this thing gets better, because now I want y'all to come and be in this with us. I want you to be one with us. I want all of us to be dwelling together in one. And I think it's Revelation that says that at the end of time, God is going to do this. He's going to take all things, and all things are going to be placed in Christ. All things are going to be placed in Christ. And that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Okay. The Father's in Jesus. Okay, look at it. The Father's in Jesus. And Jesus in the Father. And then we're in Christ. And he said, then that we may be made perfect in one. Just as the Father and Jesus are one, we are one with them because now we dwell in Christ and Christ dwells in us. Then he said, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. What glory is he talking about? All the value, all the worth, all the goodness, everything you've given me, Father, I have given them. Oh, my goodness. Everything that the Father gave Jesus, he gave to us. Everything that has been invested in Jesus has also been invested in us because of Jesus. The Father's given us all of it. Not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, but because Jesus gave his blood, he sacrificed himself for us. And now everything he accomplished, everything he did, everything he has gathered to himself is also given to us because now we are one with him. Now we dwell in Christ. He's our dwelling place. Christ is our dwelling place, not this earth, not all this stuff that's going on down here. But our dwelling place is in Christ. It's in Christ. We should pray for the things that are going on down here. We should be informed about what's going on down here. But we should not identify with what's going on down here. We identify with Christ. We identify with him, where he sits on the right hand of the Father. That's who we identify with. Not the stuff down here. Don't stick your head in the sand. Be aware. Know what's going on. Pray. But know that that's not you. Because we're in the world, the Bible says, but we're not what of the world. So he's given us the glory. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The same way that the Father loved Jesus is the same way he loves us. In natural families, sometimes parents love one child more than they do other. They have a favorite. And the children usually can tell that there's a favorite. And some get resentful and they don't like it. But God has no one favorite over another person. It's not that he favored Jesus over us. The Bible says he loved us just like he loved Jesus. He loves us just like he loved Jesus. So we live in Christ. He is our dwelling place. He is our dwelling place. Acts 17:28 says this, for in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. For in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. This physical building, when we leave here, we can't take this physical building with us. It goes nowhere with us. It's permanent. It stays here. Kim, you and Dan, where's your house? Where you left it, isn't it? It didn't get up and move and come with you, did it? No, it didn't. Thanks, Sonny. Where's y'all place? Go. It didn't move and come here with you? No. My place didn't come here with me either. But we live in Christ. He's our dwelling place. So one thing about that is, I don't care where I go, I'm still in Christ. I don't care if I move to Africa, I'm still in Christ. If I move to Florida, I'm still in Christ. When I go on vacation, I'm still in Christ. When you go to work, Kim, you're still in Christ. No matter where you go, Sam, you're still in Christ. We're in him no matter where we go. You know, now, on the other hand, we need to think about this. If everywhere I go, I'm in Christ, but I might have to watch what I do and say. But he right there, you know, he's close. He's close. And everything I do and say, he sees. But everywhere we go, we're in Christ. We're in him. We're in him. I remember one time I was riding with my sisters in her car. She has a Chrysler 300. It's a pretty car. Nice car. Matter of fact, they only got the second one there. Nice car. This pretty white color. And it's a nice car. It's a nice car, but no back seat. You don't have much leg room in the back. And so one time I went, it's plenty in the front. And it's a big car, so you think you have a lot of room in the back seat. So we went somewhere one time with her, and I'm in the back seat of that car. And I'm complaining because I want no room back there. And I should have thought about the fact, and I didn't think about it then, because then I'm thinking about Christ and me. I wouldn't think about I was in Christ. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, because of Christ dwelling, me dwelling in Christ, I was prompted to think about what I was saying. I wasn't speaking life. I was speaking death. I should have been speaking, oh, thank you for letting me ride in this car. Thank you, Lord, I'm able to get in this car. Thank you, Father God. That's what I should have been speaking. When I'm speaking, no room, cramped up, can't put my legs out, all that kind of stuff. So quickly, I got reprimanded by the Holy Spirit. And I realized I need to speak life. And since that time, I realized I need to speak life, not death. Complaining is speaking death. Excuses are speaking death. When we make excuses, all it is speaking death. And so the Lord gave me this. No complaining and no excuses. That's for me. Ernestine, no complaining, no excuses. Because what? I dwell in Christ. In Christ, guess what? There's no complaining. In him, there's no excuses. Where we dwell, there's none of that. There's no death in Christ. The word of God says, in him is life. In him is life. And so since we're in him, we have the life of God because we're in him and he's in us. I always want to think about double life. We got it double. We got it double. So in him we live and move and have our being. Let's look at Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3:3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So my life, your life, is hidden in Christ with God because what? We died. Ernestine died. Dan died. That old man died. The old man is dead. Now we are what? The scripture said, our life is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is hidden in Christ with God. That's why where we dwell now. That's where you dwell now. No wonder Paul said, we don't look at one another no more after the flesh. We will see one another what? In the spirit. I'm not supposed to look at you and what you're doing and see you in the flesh. I'm supposed to see you in the spirit if you're born again. I'm supposed to see you as a believer in Christ, and Christ being in you and you being in Christ, that's how I should see you. And guess what? If I see you that way, I'm going to talk to you that way. If I see you that way, I'm going to pray for you that way. I'm not going to talk to you like you're a dead man or a dead person. I should talk to you like you're a person that's alive now in Christ. That's how I should see you. Because what? Christ is our dwelling place. Christ is our dwelling place. Let's look at Romans 12:5. Where is the body of Christ, the word of God says? Where's the body of Christ? Romans 12:5 tells us, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. So the body of Christ dwells in Christ. The church dwells in Christ. And individually members of one another. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the only way to get in Christ is to get born again and become a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your spirit man is now new because now you're in Christ. Not just that Christ is in you, but you are in Christ. You're in Christ. And old things, old stuff, that old spirit man has passed away. And all things have become new. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. So when did God decide all this? When was this really made effective? Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in Christ, just as he chose us in him, that in him is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, in before him in love. God chose us in him, that in him is Christ. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, before God made the worlds. He decided that we would be in Christ. He decided what? We would be in Christ, that would be our dwelling place, that would be our dwelling place. So the church is never going to perish because the church is in Christ. The enemy can't destroy the church because the church is in Christ. The church is in Christ. The church is in Christ. In order to get to the church, you got to get rid of Christ. You ain't never getting rid of Christ. Never. It don't mean it's going to be some individually falling away, but just because you fall away, just because one follower doesn't mean the whole church is gone. The church is in Christ. So we can have hope for the church because the church is in Christ. Let's look at John 15:4-8. Let's see if we can understand these scriptures a little bit more. John 15:4-8. Because this also deals with us dwelling in Christ. See, some scriptures deal with Christ in us. But some scriptures deal with us in Christ. John 15:4-8 says, abide in me and I in you. Remain in me. This is that dual place again. Show us that dual place again. Remain in me and I in you. Okay, Jesus said, remain in me, dwell in me, and also let me dwell in you, to have that oneness. Abide in me and I in you. Not only is he in us, but we're in him. Remain in me. Abide means remain. Remain in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. A vine cannot bear fruit. A branch cannot bear fruit unless it abide in the vine. Now, if you take off, sometimes there's a vine and there's a joint to where the branch comes off it. But in there, if you can't look and see where the vine stops and the branch ends, because it doesn't, because they're one. If you get under there and see, you will see that there's a place in there where the branch and the vine are connected. I mean, they're made together. You can break off the branch, and the scripture talks about the branch being broken off, but he's the vine and we're the branches. So we're abiding in him, but he's also abiding in us, the branch. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That verse before that says, unless you abide in me, we can't do anything unless we abide in him. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So we got to remain in our dwelling place in Christ and allow him to remain in us. And that's how we bear fruit. We bear fruit by our union with Christ. Never seen so much. Well, I probably have. But most places we're not taught that we can't do nothing without Christ. We're not taught that we can't do anything unless we remain in him and let him remain in us. Oftentimes we make decisions. Oftentimes we go to do stuff. We make life-altering decisions without looking at who's in us and who we're in. We just look at the fleshly part of it. But no, you are not by yourself. You're not alone. And by ourselves, we can't do anything the word says. And what that means is, that don't mean I can't go and do something, but ain't no life in it. God is not in it. If I don't allow him to be in it, it's just something I'm doing. And he's not there. Then the next verse says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay? That means if you do not, as long as you are a believer, as long as you don't denounce Christ as your source, as your what you believe in him for the remission of your sins, the cross is what you put your faith in as being born again, and Jesus is what you have accepted, then you're not cast out as a branch. But if someone decides, I don't want Jesus no more, he's not real, they decide they're going to be an atheist, then that person has now what? Have not abided in Christ. They have cast their own selves off as a branch, and they wither. And then this is talking about in judgment day, then the branches that are not part of Christ are going to be cast into the fire. They're going to be gathered together and cast in the fire. But the Bible says we are not of those that draw back to perdition, but we are those what that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't draw back. We don't denounce Christ, but we are branches that stay in the vine. We remain in Christ. We stay in our dwelling place. We keep believing, and we keep Christ in our hearts. You see, nobody can pluck you out of God's hands. Nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hand, the word of God says. The devil can't pluck you out. The devil can't make you do anything. It's when people of their own free will decide not to follow the truth. That's when the branches are withered and they're gathered and cast into the fire and they are burned. But on the other hand, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There was a time when I thought, I said, okay, Jesus, I can't take this literally. I mean, suppose somebody asks for something that's not godly. Suppose somebody asks for something that's not in your will. But look at it. If you abide in me, if you dwell and remain in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Ooh, I'm only going to desire what he desires. Think about Jesus. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. All he did was the Father's will. All he desired to do was the Father's will. If we remain in him and allow him to remain in us, then all we're going to desire is the will of the Father. You're not going to desire some off-the-wall stuff if you remain in him and his words remain in you. And in that case, we can ask what we desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. So Christ is our dwelling place. We remain in Christ. We acknowledge the fact that we dwell in him. We acknowledge the fact that his word is in us. We acknowledge his word. We let his word out of our mouth. Let's look at Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3:1. And we can do 3:1, 3:2, and 3:3. And I'm going to read a Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. When Christ was raised from the dead, we rose too. That's what baptism is all about. Baptism is about going down in his death and being raised in his resurrection. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. We are to yearn for all that is above. But that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. We should yearn for where we live. Our dwelling place is in Christ. So we should yearn for everything that's in him, everything above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Christ is in victory. Victory, we should yearn for victory. Christ is not sick, so we should yearn for help. Christ is not in bondage, so we should yearn for our freedom. Christ is full of love and in love, so we should yearn for that love to walk in there, because that's where we are. And all of that is in him, and we are in him. So Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we ought to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. And that's where we are too, because we what? We, Christ is our dwelling place. Second verse, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Since that's where we dwell with Christ, our spirit man is dwelling there with Christ, in Christ, we should feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. We should fill our thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distraction of the natural realm. It is not so easy to get past these distractions here. We got so many distractions now. There are distractions everywhere. If you want to get entertained, you can find so much entertainment, you only have time to look at it. And they're just distractions. And it's not easy pulling yourself away from those distractions. But it's possible. It's not easy, but it's possible. Colossians 3:3, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Christ's crucifixion, it savored, it cut that tie that we had on the world. And now our true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. The sad part is there's a lot of Christians that we never find that true hidden life that we have in Christ. We're so busy living the life we want, living the life somebody else wants for us, that we don't take time to live that life that we have in Christ, Because that's where we dwell. That's where we dwell. So we should want to live our true life hidden away in God, in Christ. Jesus said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Remain in me and let my words remain in you. Confess that you dwell in him. Confess that I dwell in Christ. This world is not my home. I dwell in Christ. I don't dwell in the mess of this world. I might be in a mess now, but this is not where I dwell. I dwell in Christ. I dwell in Christ, and Christ lives in me. And I'm going to let his words abide in me. We got to let his words abide in us. And then we got to speak out the word of God. The Bible is just not a book. It's a book that contains the living words of God. But it's just a book and pages if you don't take that word and speak it out and bring life to it. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. I want you to stay in. I want you to repeat something after me. I'm closing. And say, me in Christ and Christ in me. Me in Christ and Christ in me. Me in Christ and Christ in me. I dwell in Christ and Christ dwells in me. And we are one. I let his word abide in me. And then I let his word out of my mouth. I speak life, not death. I remain in Christ. And I allow his word to remain in me. Amen. You may be seated. Christ, our dwelling place. I'm so glad I have a dwelling place. And that place is in Christ. I'm glad that Christ dwells in me. But I'm so glad that I also dwell in Christ. Christ needed a home. And his home is in us. But we needed a home. And our home is in him. And that makes us one. That makes us one. That makes us one. Amen. Amen. Anyone desire prayer before we get ready to close? Any prayer? Any prayer?